The Truth News Network. Mainstream news, for the most part, cannot be trusted. Want the truth?
And nothing but the truth?
It's here every day at the Truth News Network. Here with today's truths is Dan Newman.
Donald Trump's recent proclamation that he is opposed to so-called birthright citizenship for the offspring of illegal aliens born in the U.S. has set off a firestorm of outrage and protest. Hello, everybody. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome to the Truth News Network. This from President Trump confirms again that much of his appeal lies in the fact that he is willing to address taboo subjects in a way that the public, tired of candidates and elected officials who are bound by rigid protocols of political correctness, finds refreshing. The topic of birthright citizenship is a perfect example. Remember when he first brought this up during his 2016 presidential campaign? Within hours of his even mentioning it in the shadow of the caravan in Mexico headed for the U.S., there has been more discussion, fueled by considerable popular interest, of this poorly understood aspect of immigration policy than ever before. Whether or not one agrees with Trump's immigration policies, one has to concede he is advancing a national conversation on a critically important issue, no matter how controversial it is. The issue is whether children born in the United States, even if their parents are foreign nationals who entered this country illegally, automatically become citizens. Current law supposes that they do, a concept that has been termed birthright citizenship. Many people in error think this concept originated from the Constitution and have been confirmed in a U.S. Supreme Court decision. Not so. Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, called the Citizenship Clause, states that, quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside, end quote. Well, let's dig into the 14th Amendment. The origins of this language in the 14th Amendment are a bit hazy, but it must be remembered that the purpose of the 14th Amendment was to repair the infamous Dred Scott v. Sanford decision of 1857 and recognize citizenship for the newly freed slaves, but not members of Indian tribes living on reservations. The language of the Citizenship Clause, derived from the Civil Rights Act of 1866, enacted by the same legislators, those in the 39th Congress, who framed the 14th Amendment. The Civil Rights Act of 1866 conferred citizenship on, quote, all persons born in the United States and not subject to any foreign power, excluding Indians not taxed, end quote. Foreign nationals in the United States and children who become citizens of a foreign country at birth by virtue of their parents' citizenship would obviously be excluded from this definition. Yes, the language of the Citizenship Clause is slightly different than that of the Civil Rights Act of 1866, but there's no real evidence that the 39th Congress intended a different meaning. In fact, the sponsor of the Citizenship Clause, Senator Jacob Howard, who was a Republican from Michigan, stated that its language, quote, is simply declaratory of what I regard as the law of the land already. Explaining that, and again I quote, this will not, of course, include persons born in the United States who are foreigners, aliens, or who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers. The record of the debate in 1866 is important and should definitely be recounted and considered in this pending issue for which President Trump is planning on issuing an executive order to end it. So let's look closer at the 14th Amendment history. Now here we get into an area where there are a lot of people who say the U.S. Constitution is a living, breathing document that changes with the time. And then there are what are called originalists who say the Constitution's only interpretation can be based upon what the founders' intentions were when the articles and the amendments were enacted, approved, and signed into law. So let's look at the 14th Amendment history. When Senator Lyman Trumbull, Democrat of Illinois, who was chairman of the Judiciary Committee and a key figure in the drafting and adoption of the 14th Amendment, was asked what the phrase "and subject to the jurisdiction thereof" meant, here's his response, a direct quote. "That means subject to the complete jurisdiction thereof." What did he mean by complete jurisdiction thereof? Here's what he meant. Not owing allegiance to anyone else. That is what it means. He said that. Only U.S. citizens owe complete allegiance to the United States. Everyone present in the U.S. is subject to its laws and therefore its jurisdiction. But only citizens can be drafted into the armed forces of the U.S. or prosecuted for treason if they take up arms against it. Senator Howard agreed with Trumbull's explanation, saying, quote, "I concur entirely with the Honorable Senator from Illinois, Trumbull, in holding that the word jurisdiction, as here employed, ought to be construed so as to imply a full and complete jurisdiction on the part of the United States. That is to say, the same jurisdiction in extent and quality as applies to every citizen of the United States now." This communication from Senator Howard supports very strongly the conclusion that the Citizenship Clause was intended to mean the same as the Civil Rights Act of 1866, excluding children born in the United States for foreign nationals, that is, to resident aliens. Hinging the entire debate over the Citizenship Clause in the 39th Congress admittedly presents some occasional inconsistencies and some questions, leading reasonable people on both the left and the right, and we're both sides reasonable people, I know you agree with that, to disagree about the meaning of the Citizenship Clause. Conservative scholars such as John Eastman, Lino Graglia, Edward Erler, and even former Attorney General Edwin Meese have written in opposition to birthright citizenship. However, it's important to note that this point of view is shared by liberal scholars such as Yale Law School professor Peter Schuck, who co-authored a book with University of Pennsylvania political scientist Roger Smith entitled Citizenship Without Consent, Illegal Aliens in the American Politics, from 1985, making the same argument now critical in this new Trump debate. Federal Judge Richard Posner has called the current practice of birthright citizenship an anomaly that Congress should rethink because it makes no sense. Judge Posner went on to state in a published decision, Oforgy versus Ashcroft, that was from the Circuit Court of Appeals in 03, that, quote, "we should not be encouraging foreigners to come to the United States solely to enable them to confer U.S. citizenship on their future children." Posner volunteered that he doubted whether a constitutional amendment was necessary to change the current practice of birthright citizenship. There are other respected commentators who take a contrary position. But a considerable body of scholarship supports the view that the Citizenship Clause does not compel birthright citizenship and that the current practice could be corrected by legislation pursuant to Congress's power under Section 5 of the 14th Amendment and Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4. Contrary to the claims of some, including the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, amending the 14th Amendment is not required. In fact, such legislation has been introduced in the past. For example, S. 1351 in 1993, H.R. 1567 2003, H.R. 140 2015. I did the research there. You do the research to go find them. And is also supported by Republicans and Democrats. That includes, this is going to blow your mind when I tell you this, former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat of Nevada, who stated in 1993 that, quote, no sane country would grant citizenship to the children of illegal immigrants solely because they were born on American soil. Wow. In O4G, Judge Posner stated that, I hope H.R. 1567 passes. That's a whole lot to digest, folks. There's a lot of content there. You may want to go back and re-listen to this first half. If you want to do that, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be right back with some more opinion, including that of the U.S. Supreme Court. That's up next on the Truth News Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say. How about China? Germany? How about people from the North Pole? Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut? Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers? What about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.
Today we're discussing birthright citizenship, brought back into the forefront by President Trump, who's threatening to issue an executive order to stop it. And those say it's anti-constitutional to do so. They talk about the 14th Amendment. We've discussed that. Where in all of this has the Supreme Court weighed in? You know they've said something about it. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has never ruled in favor of birthright citizenship for the children of illegal immigrants. The case most often used to make a case for it, United States v. Wong Kim Ark of 1898, involved the offspring of a Chinese couple present in the United States legally. And the frequently cited language from Filer v. Doe of 1982, a 5-4 decision written by the activist Justice William Brennan, hardly a strong authority, is only mentioned in a footnote. Automatic birthright citizenship for tourists and illegal immigrants is an anomaly. The United States and Canada are the only developed countries on earth to recognize it. No European country does. American voters overwhelmingly oppose birthright citizenship by almost 2-1, according to a recent Rasmussen poll. Well, let's summarize this whole debacle here today. And I don't know that it's a debacle, but if there is an executive order that comes out of the White House doing away with birthright citizenship, you can bet this one thing: it will become a debacle. Whether or not you approve of Donald Trump's policies, his methods of communication, divisiveness, arrogance, or you just don't like his hair, he has brought a very serious issue to the forefront in American politics. Birthright citizenship applies to somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 babies birthed each year in the United States to illegal immigrant mothers. Those infants are currently considered to be American citizens with full citizenship rights. It is uncertain how many of those illegals actually come to the U.S. expressly to birth babies here to secure their citizenship, but it is beyond contention that most of them, or many of them, do just that. Those who cry that Americans who are against birthright citizenship are uncaring, ungiving, unkind, and selfish need to understand that those who feel that way are, on the most part, strict adherents to the rule of law. These Americans trust the U.S. Constitution as written and amended and expect the federal government to, with the power that lies within every branch and agency of the government, uphold the laws of the United States. Once again, this travesty that is entrenched in misunderstood writings and assumptions derived from legal scholars could be done away with by the U.S. Congress simply doing their job. Fix existing laws by changing those laws or simply passing new laws to replace the old ones that are broken. One should ask here, why has not Congress already corrected this issue? Do members of Congress in the majority or even in the minority have vested interest in the perpetuation of the continuance of birthright citizenship, ignoring the spirit of the U.S. Constitution? Good question. Conspiracy theorists lay the blame for such at the feet of a class of political elitists who see doing so as a way to build and/or increase a governing majority who draw their political power from adding citizens in any way possible, who hold somehow an obligation to those who make such citizenship possible. Conspiracy theorists or not, the best way and the only right way to alleviate the question and inequities of birthright citizenship is for Congress to pass legislation. And in the meantime, look for an executive order doing so from President Trump. Then look for the United States Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. You know those guys and girls out in California, known to be skewed very, very far left. Expect for them to quickly attract cases from leftist immigration attorneys, including some states' attorneys general, to stop presidential intervention in birthright citizenship. Oh, without congressional action on this, it will be ultimately determined, you got it, by the United States Supreme Court. Now think about this. There are now 5 constitutional originalists, 5 out of 9, 5 constitutional originalists on the bench. Those are justices who believe in the Constitution as written and the intentions for its enforcement and its various articles and amendments based on the intention of the forefathers when the original Constitution was written. So, with the majority being constitutional originalist, reckon how they'll vote on this. Hey, that's going to do it for today's edition here at the Truth News Network. Thanks so much for joining us. We're glad you're with us all the way. And as we get more involved in this process, and of course, the other ones that pop up all the time, because let's face it, Donald Trump is the President of the United States. We're all over this and all of the rest. So join us. Stay tuned to the Truth News Network. So long, everybody.
So busy you don't have time for today's news on TV or newspaper?
Never fear.
TNN has your answer. Download TNN Podcast to your phone.
Catch up with the latest news
during your busy day. The Truth News Network.
TNN. TruthNewsNet.org.